Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome. So thank you for bearing with us as we do our best without Master here to try to hold all the Dharma assemblies. So today, I would just like to talk a little bit after the great compassion repentance. I thought I would talk about good knowing advisors, since that's really an important topic in Mahayana. And since it, right now our good knowing advisor, our teacher, Master Yonghua, is not here. But I thought I'd touch a little bit on that. And at any point, you know, feel free to stop me or raise your hand if you have any questions. So I first just wanted to bring up a quote from the Avatamsaka Sutra, which the Avatamsaka Sutra is like the king of all sutras, the sort of the greatest sutra in Buddhism, in a lot of people's opinion. So, and it's this huge sutra, and so it's kind of, you know, daunting to even touch on it. I haven't even read through the whole thing, but I just thought it might be nice to start because it discusses good knowing advisors in there, and in general, the whole Avatamsaka Sutra is talking about the sort of the path that the bodhisattva takes to reach Buddhahood. So it goes through a lot of detail to examine all these stages and the types of practices. And seeking a good knowing advisor is a really important part of that. So for most of us, this term good knowing advisor is, we're familiar with it, but if some people are new, maybe I'll just introduce the term a little bit. Because it's a translation from the Chinese, shanzhi shi, is it fourth tone? Sorry, my Chinese is a bit rusty, so I can read a lot better than I can talk. But good knowing and advisor are literally a translation of the three Chinese words. So we didn't translate that into like a wise teacher or something that sounds a little better in English to preserve some of the original Chinese meaning as best as possible in the English. So this, the good knowing advisor is this teacher who they have the quality of goodness is very important in them, in their teacher. So they know what's right and wrong. They know how to guide you. Their knowing means they have some insight. They have, in particular, for finding a teacher, it's very beneficial if you can find a teacher who knows where you're at, who can gauge what your level is. So they know how to teach you and how to help you get to the next level. So that takes some special insight. So if you have this a good teacher that actually can see this about you, they can guide you much better. And then advisor is that they're, of course, they're there giving you advice and guidance along the way. So the Avatamsaka Sutra in the chapter 39 towards the end is Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of great wisdom, who's actually on the lion, I believe, here, on the left, on to my left. At the beginning, Manjushri is speaking to the youth good wealth. And so this youth is on his spiritual quest, he's on his journey. And chapter 39 kind of chronicles, it's almost like that chapter is sort of somewhat like a novel, I've heard people say, and that it sort of chronicles his journey through, and he goes and seeks out different good knowing advisors, and each advisor teaches him a different lesson and helps him progress through these different stages that are described in the Avatamsaka Sutra. So I'll just read the one passage towards the beginning of that chapter where Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of great wisdom, speaks to the youth good wealth. He says, "Good man, if one wishes to accomplish the wisdom of all wisdom, then one must decisively seek a true good knowing advisor. Good man, in seeking for a good knowing advisor, do not become weary or lax, and upon seeing a good knowing advisor, do not become satiated. As to a good knowing advisor and his teachings, you must follow and accord. As to the expedient devices employed by a good knowing advisor, do not find faults." So that's just one passage I thought I would bring up by way of introduction. And it emphasizes the importance of this goal of reaching all wisdom. That's basically the Buddha's wisdom, the Buddha's understanding, which is, something so incredibly vast, it's beyond anything that we can understand or conceive of. In particular, before I came here, I was studying in some other forms of Buddhism and like the Japanese Zen practices that are here in the West. So they, from what I learned there, they take enlightenment very seriously, but they don't really even have this. The scope of it is not as profound as what, at least in my opinion, is what I found in the Chan teachings and the Mahayana teachings, like the notion that that enlightenment actually has a lot of stages, and that the Buddha's wisdom is this all wisdom or this perfect enlightenment, which is so so far up there, and the way it's described in much more detail, like in the Avatamsaka Sutra, is much more profound than like what I had been exposed to prior to coming here. So it goes it just goes a lot further than we can even conceive of. So if you really want to go that far, if your goal is to become a Buddha, to go through all these stages, you first have to attain just the initial levels. Master teaches us about the four stages of the Arhat. Those are already extremely profound, but not yet considered enlightenment in the Mahayana. And then beyond that, when you reach there's the first ground of the Bodhisattva. So that's where enlightenment begins. And then this all comes from the Avatamsaka Sutra. It describes these stages as you get to the first ground, and then there's these ten grounds are the main levels of the Bodhisattvas. And beyond that, you reach a few other stages, and then the level of the Buddha. So it's just so incredibly far that we have to go. And really the best way to try to get there and to make the quickest progress is to have a good knowing advisor to guide you. Because it's something that we really can't do on our own. Or even if we attempt to try to cultivate on our own or just using the sutras, it's not the same. For what one sort of way of looking at it is that we're trying to overcome our ego and get beyond our own ego, which is incredibly difficult to do. And if we're the one who's in charge of our cultivation, then the ego is very easy to manipulate us and steer us off course. So the good knowing advisor, on the other hand, can look from the outside, can see, see where our ego is at, see our blind spots, and can help kind of guide us in a much more effective way to make progress. I thought I'd bring up a little bit from Great Master Xunhua, who is our master's master. Actually, his statue is on the back, the patriarch's altar on the back. His picture is on the wall, this wall here, and then over my shoulder here. That's Great Master Xunhua. So he wrote, there's some writings he had about one of his good knowing advisors, the Great Master Xu Yun, who's the previous patriarch that transmitted the patriarchship to Great Master Xunhua. And Master Xunhua, incidentally, is the one who brought the Dharma over to the West, who came from China and established the teachings largely in Northern California, where they still have quite some monasteries. Namely, the City of 10,000 Buddhas is a very large monastery. So Great Master Xunhua speaks about his teacher, and the first thing he says in this article is that he initially had heard of Great Master Xu Yun, and that there was this great master, and he had this desire to go and visit and see him. But that actually was very difficult to get there, and I believe it wasn't until many years later that he was able to have the conditions to encounter him. That at first, the journey was difficult, and I guess politically in China, maybe it was also becoming more difficult to travel at the time. So he wasn't able to to get there so easily. And that's part of that, really exemplifies an important part of the good knowing advisor, that you have to go through a lot of trouble to seek them out. And often they're not hard to find. And the true good knowing advisors that usually don't have a banner over their head saying this is a good knowing advisor. They're kind of hidden. They're not going to tell you they're a good knowing advisor. So it's actually a pretty big conundrum, because you don't know how to identify them, really. As Master likes to tell us, if we had the ability to identify our good knowing advisor, then we should be his teacher or her teacher. So the very fact that they're above us, they're the one who's supposed to guide us, or that means they're out of our range to comprehend where they're at or to see them or recognize them. So it's kind of really a catch-22 that there's no way for us to identify or establish if our good knowing advisor is really a good knowing advisor. So actually there's some tricky issues in how to manage that. But anyways, I guess I'll get back to some of the later. I want to continue with Great Master Xinhua. So he eventually he was able to, he had the conditions to meet with Great Master Xu Yun. And I think at first Great Master Xu Yun wanted to appoint him to become the director of the Vinaya Academy. The Vinaya are the precepts that the monks and nuns have. So he appointed him at this temple to teach other monks and nuns. And Great Master Xinhua refused at first. He says, well, no, I want to come here to cultivate. You know, I want to really do intense cultivation and have some attainment. Or he probably already had a lot of attainment, but he wants to go further. And Great Master Xu Yun, at first he says, well, you know, if you're traveling all this way to come and see seek out a good knowing advisor, you get here, now you're not even going to listen to me. What's the point? Which is kind of very common among you. Master complains about the same thing. He says, you know, you're all here to learn, and then I give you instructions, and you don't even listen to it. So why am I going to, I'm not going to give you more instructions. That's basically what Master tells us. If you get an instruction from your good knowing advisor and you don't listen to it, you're not going to get any more instructions. So you just cut yourself off right there. So it's very important to listen and to follow the advice of your good knowing advisor. So the story kind of goes on. Great Master Xu Yun Great Master Xinhua refused again and said, no, I don't want to teach at this Vinaya Academy. I want to cultivate. And so Great Master Xu Yun gave him another teaching and emphasized that to make progress in our path, we need both blessings and wisdom. Or we need to do both, generate the blessings of doing good things, helping others, and those blessings become the fuel for our cultivation. And then we build up those blessings, and then it's like the 2 feet, great, that we talked about, you spoke yesterday, Venerable Sinter, that the 2 feet of our cultivation, we need to develop these blessings, and then on the other hand, we do the cultivation. So without the blessings, we're not going to have any fuel in our tank, so we can just keep cultivating, but we might not get anywhere at all. So when Master Xu Yun emphasized this point to Great Master Xinhua, then at that point he said, okay, I got it, I'll teach at the Vinaya Academy. So he became the teacher there, and then goes on to talk, I guess later, some of the other teachers, basically they all left, and he became pretty much in charge of the entire Vinaya Academy. And if you look at Great Master Xinhua's life, as according to what our master teaches us, he really actually, throughout his entire life, he did a whole lot of cultivating blessings, of helping others. There were periods of time where he would go into a cave and just cultivate. But then, like when he came to this country, according to like what our master says, he really just was nonstop working, helping others, healing people, teaching the Dharma, lecturing, you know, all these lectures that he did, and the transcriptions and books that came out of it. All this is, for him, is a form of giving, and that is a form of generating blessings, which will help him in his future cultivation. In future lifetimes, or I don't know where, you know, I can't speak about where Great Master Xinhua is going and what he's doing next. But we can see that he also did this. He cultivated these blessings. So that's kind of an important part of the search for your good knowing advisor. Since we cannot identify the good knowing advisor, our job is just to make ourselves worthy of being taught, make ourselves into a worthy vessel, and cultivate these blessings and do good. And then we establish these kind of conditions so that eventually the good knowing advisor will find us, basically. So even if, you know, that practically how that translates into your life, you find the best teacher you can, you know, that you have faith in. But then at a certain point, you make your commitment to work with your teacher, and you just do your best to be loyal to that teacher, to support his teachings, and then just trust. If you really make yourself worthy to be taught, that if there's another teacher you need to go to, eventually the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, or you'll get some guidance to get there. So like I can kind of speak to that also from my personal experience, because I spent many years searching for a good knowing advisor, probably over 10 years, and it was a difficult time, because I really, you know, I didn't know who to trust and how to evaluate these teachers, and it's disconcerting, because I'm going around to a lot of different centers, a lot of different places, trying to find the right teacher, but not knowing what to do, so a lot of uncertainty. And like his master also talks about, he tells some of the stories about me, like when I first came here, I came sort of as a typical Westerner. We really don't have the kind of attitude, the right attitude that, say, in Asia is much more common. Like we don't have the proper, at least I can speak for myself, don't have the proper respect for the Buddha Dharma and for the good knowing advisor. So it takes a little more work for, like, say, for master to kind of communicate some of that to me, or to work with us who we don't really have the same background. So we come in, like, for me, it's like, you know, I went to spend some time in university, and in university you see your professors almost like equals. That's sort of the attitude that people have, and you don't have this sense of respect, of elevating the teacher. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can use which microphone? The Wayno. Do you have a... the Wayno microphone is better. I think this one.
Thầy chủ trì mình ở đây khuyên mình phải phát cái lời nguyện. Con nguyện gặp thiện tri thức để dạy cho con tiến bộ, để con độ chúng sanh, độ cho con và độ chúng sanh. Thì cứ liên tục nguyện như vậy và làm phước trồng công đức, thì ngày nào đó thiện tri thức sẽ tìm quý vị, và khi quý vị xứng đáng rồi thì người thiện tri thức sẽ dạy. Bằng chứng tôi nói quý vị rõ là tôi không có nói ai, nhưng mà ở chùa mình có một người kỹ sư tới đây hoài, mà anh ta ở tam thiền 6-7 năm rồi không có lên, đứng hoài ở đó. Thì năm rồi anh ta tới với một cái thái độ rất là khiêm nhường. Thầy chờ cơ hội đúng mùi, thầy đẩy một cái lên tứ thiền liền. Cho nên tùy thuộc cái thái độ của mình và cái phước của mình, thì thiền tri thức sẽ gặp mình, dạy và đẩy mình lên. Chứ không mà quý vị tam thiền, quý vị chết đầu thai lại. Tu rất nhanh cũng tam thiền là chết, trở lại cứ tam thiền hoài thôi. Bám cái đó. Và thứ hai nữa, nãy thầy này nói là như hôm qua tôi nói đó, là khi Hòa Thượng mà Tuyên Hóa đó, ngày tới cái chùa của Tổ Huệ Năng, thì lúc đó là ngày Hư Vân làm giám đốc, thì ngày Tuyên Hóa tới thì tối ngày cứ kiếm chỗ núp trong mấy cái thư viện ngồi thiền không à, không có dạy ai, không có làm gì hết á. Hả rảnh là trốn đi vô chỗ ngồi thiền, thì có một ông Hòa Thượng già, ông ấy nói chú phải đi ra ngoài giúp người ta, chứ chú ngồi ở này hoài là chú tu cái trí tuệ mà cái phước chú không có làm sao chú tu. Thì Hòa Thượng mới nghe lời, mới ra, mới làm là giám thị hay gì cho cái học viện đó đó, mà Hòa Thượng Hư Vân làm giám đốc. Thành ra như hôm qua tôi nói đó, là phải hai cái phước huệ song tu. Cho quý vị cũng vậy, phải làm phước trồng rất nhiều công quả, không có tiền thì làm công, làm cái công sức mình bỏ ra, thì quý vị sẽ gặp thiện thức và xứng đáng thiện thức cũng dạy và đưa mình lên nhóm ông kỹ sư. Nói thẳng là ông Chánh Thông đó, 4-5 năm nay tam thiền không, ông làm phước biết bao nhiêu trên diện dạng Phật thành, nhưng mà cũng đứng nó hoài thôi. Năm rồi xuống đây thầy rình, thầy đúng cơ hội thầy đẩy nó lên tứ thiền. Cho nên mình rất là cần thiện tri thức. Muốn cần thiện tri thức phải làm phước và phát nguyện cầu xin ơn trên Tam Bảo cho mình gặp thiện tri thức. Thì khi mình xứng đáng, mình đủ phước rồi, tự nhiên thiện tri thức sẽ tìm mình, hoặc Tam Bảo xui khiến thiện tri thức tìm mình dạy mình. Chứ không có gì lẫn quẩn đây là chết rồi đầu thai, đầu thai chết rồi đầu thai, nó cứ vậy hoài không có đi đâu hết. Tu vô ích, tu uổng công. Đó là những gì thầy này nói rồi tôi hiểu như vậy, tôi tổng kết quý vị nghe đó.
Okay, thank you. So and in general this this search for the good knowing advisor is really a very important principle in Mahayana. So that's why it's really good to plant those seeds and to realize the importance of that search, and then because this is a multi-lifetime process, as the Avatamsaka Sutra really lays out. To become a Buddha is just so many lifetimes, so much cultivation. So every time, even the bodhisattvas, when they attain enlightenment, but then when they're reborn, initially they're confused. So the best way for them, or I guess at the bodhisattva level, there's all sorts of exceptions too. But still, this notion that if they can find a good knowing advisor, that's really the quickest way for us to make progress and kind of uncover some of our wisdom. So I don't want to speak too long, since I could already smell some nice lunch must be preparing over there. But I'll try to translate into a few or bring back to a few practical points in terms of our kind of interactions with our teacher or with our, you know, good knowing advisor. But also want to make sure that if there's any questions, anybody wants to ask any questions, feel free to let me know at any point. Like if you have questions now or as you go along, just raise your hand. So, yeah, I guess this notion of the good knowing advisor that can really help you avoid a lot of pitfalls as well. For instance, Master teaches us that the third dhyana at that level is very easy to get stuck. That a lot of monks and nuns get stuck at the level of the third dhyana because it's a very pleasant state, and you tend to get a bit overconfident. And then those things can make you really get stuck there. Even lifetime after lifetime, people can just continue to get stuck at that level and they're not be able to go beyond. So having a good knowing advisor to guide you, that's like the kind of thing that the good knowing advisor can see that trap way before you get there, and they can help you so you don't fall into it and get stuck there, but help you so you just keep progressing.
Cái tam thiền á, thầy trụ trì ơi nói đó, tôi đi lặp lại quý vị nghe, nó rất là nguy hiểm. Là khi mình tu tới tam thiền đó, mình thấy an lạc lắm. Mình tưởng đủ rồi, mình chấp theo cái an lạc đó. Trước đây mình khổ, mình rầu, căng thẳng, mình bị nhức đầu, mình ngợt mỏi, giờ được cái tam thiền mình vui lắm, mừng lắm. Nhưng mà nó không khéo, không gặp thiện thức dẫn lên, mình đứng ở đó hoài thôi. Rồi mình chấp đó, đầu thai lại như nhỏ này nè. Rồi cái mình lớn lên, cái mình tu chừng một vài tháng vài năm mình lên tam thiền nữa, đó là người thường đó. Còn không á, tam thiền rồi cái đầu ngạo mạn, làm bậy làm bạ rồi cái xuống địa ngục, xuống địa ngục rồi biết bao nhiêu triệu năm mới thành con quỷ, thành được mới thành người, thành súc vật trước, súc vật biết bao nhiêu đời súc vật rồi á, thì mới thành người, mà người tàn tật rồi người khuyếm khuyết đủ thứ mới lên làm người được. Gặp Phật pháp mừng lắm, tu lên tam thiền làm bậy nữa xuống nữa, thầy nói cứ lên xuống hoài vậy nè. Đó là cái khổ của không gặp thận di thức đó. Thành ra thầy khuyên mình là phải làm phước, trồng phước cho nhiều vô. Khi xứng đáng rồi thiện di thức đưa mình lên. Tới khi mà mình giảng sanh hoặc là tới đắc A-la-hán là mình dứt cái dòng sinh tử đó. Đó là cái nguy hiểm mà thầy này nói, mà tôi lặp lại quý vị nghe, là thầy Vĩnh Hóa đã dạy nhắc hoài cái đó. Cho nên quan trọng nhất là phải sám hối với trồng phước. Rồi gặp nguyện thân tri thức thì ba cái đó quý vị có thì không có lo nữa, sẽ đi tới. Còn không đứng ở ngoài rất là nguy hiểm.
So again, this is Manjushri says in this quote from the Avatamsaka Sutra, says, as to a good knowing advisor and all his teachings, you must follow and accord. As to expedient devices employed by good knowing advisor, do not find faults. So even though we're unable to, you know, to evaluate or ascertain, you know, the level of our good knowing advisor or whether he's really a good knowing advisor, it's really a matter of faith. So we have certain criteria and we know what the precepts are, we know the teachings of the Buddha, and so we want to make sure we find a good knowing advisor who's consistent with those teachings, who follows the precepts and who follows the basic guidelines that Great Master Xunhua laid out, so we don't, they're not greedy, they're not seeking, they're not angry, and not in particular, like if you look at teachers in the West, sexual desire is a big thing, and you find teachers that get into these problems with sexual kind of scandals, and so that's a big clue. This is probably not a teacher you want to really to be putting your faith in. But so you can kind of know these key points that, you know, your good knowing advisor should not cross those lines, and should not be seeking after fame or money. So if you kind of have those key points, then at a certain point you find the teacher that resonates with you, you put your faith in that teacher, and then you just, as it says here, you put your faith in that teacher and you follow, you accord with his teachings. So once you make that commitment to studying with a teacher, that's part of becoming the like a worthy vessel of the Dharma. You want to be, you're respectful of the teacher and of the Dharma, and part of that is to just follow what your teacher, when your teacher tells you something. And it's often your teacher will tell you to do things that are difficult or that you don't want to do, or that's part of the nature of the cultivation. That's why your teacher can help you, because if you're on your own, you're going to avoid those things that you don't want to do. But if you have your teacher that, you know, guides you into those difficult areas where he knows you can make progress, that's part of the real benefit. So it's important to just trust and have faith in your teacher when he tells you that. Just do what he, you know, implement his instructions or her instructions. So that's really fundamental. And Master really says it happens so often, according to him, that he tells people things and they just don't listen, or they choose instead to listen to themselves and do something different. So that's just very fundamental to the training in Mahayana, that once we have that good knowing advisor, we, you know, do our best to implement and follow all those instructions.
Yeah. Còn cái nữa cũng liên hệ thầy này đó, thì tôi nói với vị nghe là cái môi trường của cái chùa mình rất là tốt. Thì thầy trong bữa cơm ăn ở đây, thầy có kể có một vị tu hành, tôi không nói ai, một vị tu hành đó tới chùa này mà có cái tâm không có trung thành, không có tin thầy và có muốn lấy pháp của thầy thôi, chứ không có muốn ở đây học mà phục vụ ở đây. Thì khi cái vị đó ở đây tới đây đó thì được là sơ quả A-la-hán. Khi mà vào chùa này, cái vị tu sĩ đó được sơ quả A-la-hán. Mà không có tu gì, chỉ làm chuyện chùa thôi. Mà thầy cũng không có dạy cô cái vị đó. Thầy biết, thầy không có dạy. Cứ để làm gì làm. Là tu sĩ ở chùa này nè, trước đây nè. Thì cái vị đó cứ làm công chuyện là cũng tụng kinh mấy thời, giống tôi với mấy thầy này, quý vị tụng sáng chiều vậy đó. Thì khi cô đó, cái người đó ở được 3 năm, lên được tam quả A-la-hán. Thầy không có dạy cái gì hết. Chỉ có một sáng, công phu sáng, công phu chiều như mình làm ở đây thôi. Rồi trong chùa có chuyện gì người ta làm chung với đại chúng vậy thôi. Từ sơ quả A-la-hán mà lên tam quả A-la-hán. Khi người đó dứt cái là ở đây rồi đi ra khỏi chùa này, thì đặt sơ, đặt tam quả A-la-hán, là còn một bậc nữa là tứ A-la-hán bằng A-chan á. Còn dứt sinh tử luôn, là thành công đối với tôi là rất thành công đó. Thì quý vị biết tại sao không? Khi mà cái người đó ra khỏi chùa này, bắt đầu hại thầy và nói xấu, phá. Bây giờ quý vị biết người đó ở mức độ nào không? Sơ thiền thôi. Thua con nhỏ này, thầy nói nhỏ này tam thiền nè. Vì thấy kinh khủng không? Nó thụt xuống không? Tức là sao? Là mình không có trọng phước á, mà còn làm tiêu hết cái phước cũ nữa. Ở đây 3 năm làm một chuyện mà tu không phu sáng chiều thôi. Mà từ sơ quả là hán khi vô chùa này, 3 năm sau đi ra khỏi chùa, tam quả là hán. Còn một bậc đó là tứ quả thôi. Mà ra rồi không còn làm nữa rồi. Không có maintain, không có giữ được cái đó. Mà làm nói chuyện tầm bậy tầm bạ, phá hoại rồi. Nó tổn cái đức xuống, nó còn sơ thiền thôi. Mà từ cái tam quả là hán đó, thầy nói phải phước đức ghê gớm lắm mới đạt được cái tứ quả là hán. Thành ra tóm tắt tôi nhắc quý vị là phải làm phước liên tục. Mình không có tiền thì mình làm công. Mình quét sân, quét chùa, mình đi tỉa cây, mình làm bất cứ cái gì. Mình không có đi, mình ở nhà, bữa nay mình bận thì người ta đi, mình hoan hỷ. Mình ở nhà mình hoan hỷ, cũng được nữa. Rồi phải sám hối, thì quý vị sẽ thành công. Thì thầy này cũng nói thì đại khái tóm tắt như vậy đó. Thì cái đường mình tu cứ vậy mà tu. Xin hết.
So then this last part is also important, as it says, the expedient devices employed by a good knowing advisor do not find faults. So the true good knowing advisor, they can use different kinds of expedient methods, because that maybe, you know, we can't predict, we can't understand where our good knowing advisor is coming from or how he or she is operating. So they may, you know, sometimes they often, you know, they'll scold us to help us reduce our ego or help us point out our mistakes. Or they may do other kinds of expedient devices. They may do things to get us upset or to make us, to reveal our flaws, basically. If they make us angry, then that's part of, we have to look at ourselves and see, why are we becoming angry? What is it within myself that I'm allowing myself to get angry here? So they use different kinds of expedient devices or methods because they're at the level where they have the wisdom to know how to guide us and to put us into these situations where our flaws maybe are revealed, or where we're forced to look at our own flaws so that we can learn to improve and become better. But so knowing that, when we really, once we're committed to working with our teacher and we have that faith, then we just have to trust what they do and not like find fault, not fight with our teacher. That's an important point. And it's a bit of a leap, especially for, say, like me as a Westerner. We're trained to be very rational, and I went to, like, I studied philosophy, so everything's supposed to make sense. But with your good knowing advisor, or with Mahayana in general, we're not supposed to make sense to us. It's supposed to help us get beyond our ego, beyond what we can understand. So if we only stick to what makes sense to us, we're limiting ourselves, and we'll never really get very far in our cultivation. Incidentally, that's quite a key difference between, say, the way Hinayana or the Theravada Buddhism is taught and the Mahayana. Because in the Hinayana, they really stress this teaching that everything is supposed to make sense to you. And if it doesn't make sense to you, you know, check it out, investigate it for yourself until it makes sense to you, and then accept it, then follow it. And their way of teaching sort of follows that methodology, and it works. It gets you, from what Master tells us, it can get you up to, especially to the arhat levels, but it's much slower, and it can't get you as far. Whereas in Mahayana, we have this, we talked about at the beginning, we're aiming for the Buddha's wisdom, this all wisdom, which is so far out there, so beyond what your rational mind can understand. So we need to just have that faith, and that, practically speaking, that translates into the faith in your good knowing advisor. So you just trust your teacher, whether it makes sense or not. You have to learn to trust your teacher over your own self, over your own mind, because you realize your teacher is trying to get you beyond your obstructions, get you to break through your ego. So there is going to come a point where your ego says, no, it's not, that's not right, I don't agree with that, whether that's instruction or whatever the good knowing advisor teaches you. And that's going to happen because your ego does not want to be destroyed. That's part of its function, right? It's trying to preserve itself. So at that point, that's where it's critical that you trust your teacher over your own judgment. And that's really one feature that will allow the good knowing advisor to help you much quicker, help you guide you to making progress in your cultivation. And it takes a bit for people who come like with my kind of education, with a very rational sort of logical background, to do that. It takes a bit of a leap, and it's just a different approach from how we're taught and we're raised in school, you know, that everything is supposed to make sense and be logical and understandable. So that's an important feature of the Mahayana teachings. Any questions about that? Or yes. Basically, we don't know. That's one of the functions of your good knowing advisor. That your good knowing advisor can hopefully see where you're at. If they're truly a good knowing advisor, they have that kind of insight to see your level and to know where you're going to go next, or what you need to do to get to the next level. Because on our own, we can't. We're not able to see that. At least certainly not at our level. Maybe when you get very advanced in your cultivation, I don't know about that. But for us, that is one of the key things of benefits of having a good knowing advisor, that they can see where you're at and they can that way guide you appropriately. Yeah. Sure. So, if we don't have anything else, I guess we can probably wrap it up there if there's no other questions. We have lunch, I think, ready. So we can do the lunch offering now. So, thank you all for coming.